you, Father. Our searching is over, Lord, for those that have found Christ. We thank you, Lord, for that light and that strength and salvation, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Again, Lord, time is here for you to share with us as we gather together corporately and open up your word. Speak through it, Lord. Help me, Lord, and Lord, let me see these things like the rest of the people that are here, Lord, for we are all learning and growing in you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last couple weeks back, remember we were sharing, it started out as faithfulness and truthfulness and the truthfulness of God and his faithfulness and how he is that God of faith, faithful, his truth and his truthfulness for us. Then a week or two, last couple of weeks, we shared and wrapped up last week in regards to, but he is looking also for the same from us, his people, that we would be faithful to him, that we would be truthful to him and to serve him above all else. And so it's a faithfulness on his part to us, which God is truly will always be faithful. There's nothing that he's going to do that will take that out or away from us. But we too have to play that part. And it's a growing process. It's a time to where we develop more and deeper with him through our prayers and through scriptures and through studies and fellowshipping and whatnot, that we begin to grow into that area of our faithfulness to him. And I've still got a long ways to go. Maybe you do too. But we're on the right road. And we're on that journey together. And as I came out of that, first Monday, maybe Sunday night, I don't know, sitting at home, something hit me about brokenness, being broken and spilled out. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool, broken and spilled out. So I said, okay, Lord, let's kind of dig into that a little bit. So throughout the week, we've been kind of putting things out there and together and gleaning different informations and looking at some scripture. We know one of the parts that we would look at really closely would be Mark 14 or John. Let's see, what do we want to do? Either one is going to say the same story. Mark 14. This is right about the feast of the Passover, just before his death, the plot to kill Jesus in Mark 14. You will also follow along that same story in John 12, 1 through 8 is going to give you that same story. So in Mark 14, 3 to 9, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil. And then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said in verse 6, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. And then we find in verse 7, for you have the poor with you always, and wherever you wish, you may do them good, or whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Wow. Talking about being broken and spilled out, right? This oil, this flask, was very, very expensive. It would be basically a year's wages. You know, this woman gave a year's wages to pour upon that of Jesus. In John 12, you'll see that same process. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there They made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And then Mary took a pound, now it's calling it here, Mary took a pound of very costly oil, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with this fragrance of the oil. But here again, one of his disciples, guess who? We know, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" So we read that story there. That's an instance there of broken and poured out, what she felt that she was to do. There's an area in Psalms 54 or 51. He's looking for brokenness. And what this is coming down to is Jesus is looking for us to be broken, to come to him in that way. In Psalms 51:14, "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise." In verse 16, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering." But in verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So there's just a few areas of looking at brokenness in people in the Bible. Elisha and the widow's oil in 2 Kings, chapter 4. 2 Kings 4. We talk about a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be slaves." And so, 2 Kings 4:2, Elisha says to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what you do have in your house." And she says, "Well, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." And then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all of those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her sons, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God. And he says, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, that you and your sons live on the rest." Prior to that, she was telling him, "We have just barely enough to make one more loaf of bread. And after that, we're going to die. That's how far down we are." But Elisha said to do this. There, I think she was broken and poured out. She continued to do even though she didn't have. But she was following and being obedient from this man of God. We find that in what Psalms was saying. We find that in Mark and John talking about Mary taking that alabaster vessel and pouring or breaking it and pouring it on that of Jesus. So the phrase broken and spilled out, it's a metaphor derived out of the Bible referencing women's acts of worship toward that of Jesus. But here's the other clincher to that. Who else was broken and spilled out? Jesus. Upon the cross, the blood flowed. He was broken. His body was broken. You know, his bones were not broke, but his body, his, you know, the blood, by his stripes we are healed. By the blood of Jesus, our sins are cleansed from us. But anyway, this is referencing the women's act of worship toward Jesus, but it also can speak of the sacrifice that, and that's where, when I began to think about this, broken and spilled out, broken and spilled out. The first thought that came to me was that of my Jesus. Hanging on the cross, he was broken for me. He who knew no sin became sin for me, for you, for us, for society, for those that come after us until the return of Jesus. And so he was spilled out. My goodness. And then we look in scriptures where those in the natural, but those of just human people would do things to break and being poured and spilled out. the possessions that I have. It's a sacrifice. And so as we look at being broken and spilled out, it's not like we've got alabaster vessels of oil in our homes, but we got things. We got things and stuff. And when we begin to serve God, there might be some things that He says you need to do away with, or you need to pour out. Or we might need to give to Him. That's what it is. As we give to these others, we are giving to Him. But let's continue on this thought. The woman that we're speaking of is Mary of Bethany, who anointed the feet of Jesus. We've read that story, or that in the verses here. A flask of perfume just before His death. The perfume was so expensive. It was worth a year's of wages. That speaks a lot, guys. That speaks a whole lot. That somebody is going to take, and how big the flask, I don't know, but I would take this, and what I've got in this bottle is worth the wages of my whole year. But my Lord has come, and I sense that I'm to do this, to take it and break it and to pour it over Him. She knew what she was doing. Jesus knew what she was doing. Those around Him didn't understand. And of course, Judas, he was looking at the monetary value of it. See, everything is money. Money. Our society of today is tied into money. If you don't have money, what do you have? You're not going to have much. So things in this life, just like back then, are costly. And sometimes to go and to pour yourself out to serve Him in some measure, it may cost you something, right? It may not cost you a year's wages. It may cost you your time for that week. You might have to put maybe your plans on hold for a season, or maybe for the remainder of your life, to go follow Him. To break, to pour out, to say, here I am. I don't know what I've got to offer you that's that great, Lord, but He does. He knows the heart. He knows us, and He's looking for us to come to Him and to say, I don't understand it, but I trust You, Lord. I trust You, Lord. As we look at the things that were done, it also brought me to my Jeremiah 29 scripture that spoke to me personally, and I can share it with you, and I'm willing to let you have it for what God speaks to you through it, because God's word is for all of us. But we, at different times in our life, being that by filled by the Holy Spirit, may receive something a little different from it, but it's the same thing. But the difference is, it's the same scripture, the same words, the same verbiage, but it's as you read it into your spirit, it's what the Holy Spirit takes that and mixes it with you into the plans and the desires that God has for you, that then all of a sudden these particular scriptures may do monumental things in your steps with that of God, right? This was mine in Jeremiah. You may have other scriptures. I know John has scriptures that have spoken to him way back before he began to teach that of God's word. But in my Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Right there, who would not want to follow God? When I read that and it hit in my spirit personally, I thought, there's nothing else I need to worry about in this life, because my God just spoke to me in one verse that speaks into my heart. And it wasn't just that I read it in my brain, but it entered into my heart of hearts to say, Lord, can't go wrong with you. 12, then, and I was calling out to him. Anybody else calling out to him? Verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I was calling out. I was praying when I was in a pivotal point in my life, where I would look at it, at, I guess, and no big thing about me, and to build myself up. But it's like where I was having a point in time where I need to break myself and pour myself into what God had for me. But as I looked at that, I was calling upon him. Lord, I don't understand this feeling. Lord, it must just be me. Lord, it just must be my age. Lord, it must be something. And I don't really know if this is truly that of you. But then I would go and I would pray to him and I would pray to him and I would pray to him. And then I would stop praying and I would listen and listen and listen for his replies and responses back to me. And things that he shared in the spirit, and my spirit was there. The things he shared with me by that of his word was there. And these words began to dance off of the pages of just paper. And they began to sizzle within me. It would be like back in the day, remember when those guys would Alka-Seltzer. You know, you got an upset tummy. What did you do back in the day? Glass of water, 2 tablets of Alka-Seltzer, and the bubbling. Yeah. And he would drink that down and it would calm you down. That was happening in my spirit when reading God's word. And I pray for you today. And I want that same thing myself. I want to continue to. And it's not always been there, but it can be there. But I pray that we, as we read God's word, that these verses that speak specifically to you and you and you and you and you, they will be like an effervescent or whatever that is, that it'll just begin to bubble. And it's almost like that. And that's what God's word did. But then you will call upon me, pray to me, and I will listen. And then it says, and when you will seek me, you will find me. He's not hide and seek. He does not hide and seek. He's right out in the open. And when you search for me, here's your part. When you search for me with what? All your heart. Not part of your heart, some of your heart, a corner of your heart. Here it is. We pour ourselves out totally like that flask. All of me, Lord, is here. All I give to you, Lord. And even back at that time when I had family, well, I still have family, but when I had kids and a wife and a home and all these things as little kids, I was pouring them out as well. I had a flask. I may not have had oil, but I had 4 kids and a wife. And I was the sole breadwinner, and we had 4 kids in school, and I'm going to just pour out myself and my life on this earth and say, I'm turning from my career with this earth, and I'm turning into that kingdom of you, Father God. So I guess in a way, that alabaster flask was my family and myself and my thoughts of retirements and careers and where I wanted to go in another 20 years where I was working and all of my plans, all of my things that I had set forth that I was looking and working towards. I had to make a decision. Do you pour it all out and start with God? Hallelujah! But I had to do it with all of my heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. You know, my captivity, your captivity is the things that hold you. Your job, your family. Family. It's not bad, but I'm going to say family can hold you back. Hobbies can hold you back. Jobs can hold you back. Retirement can hold you back. Stuff can hold you back. And he will return you and bring you from those things that are holding you. And if you play it out long enough with him, you will see that he is a blessing God. And he will take care of all of it. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? See, I had to get out and we've got to get out. What am I going to do? And I got to get in. God, what are you going to do? Like as she, Mary, anointing his body and preparing for his death. It's like she was doing what she was to do. As in Psalms where he's not looking for a sacrifice and this and that, but he's looking for a broken spirit and a contrite heart. We usually will come to him when we are what? Broken. Not too many people go to him when everything is on the upbeat and everything is successful. Now, there are some, right? But what do you think the percentages are? I don't know. But I do know that a lot of stories and testimonies you hear are people that were saying, I was down for the last count. I was down to my last flask of oil. I only had a half a cup of flour. There was nothing else for me to do. But I thank God that God is so loving and caring and tender about us that he will be there when you were at your last wit's end. He was there prior to that, but we were so busy with stuff. So busy with our stuff. My stuff, our stuff, doing stuff, buying stuff, collecting stuff. We got so much stuff, we go to the dump and throw out stuff. And there's people at the dump that will take your stuff when they see you throw it out, and they'll look in your back in the trunk and go, you throwing that away? Well, why do you think I'm here at the dump? Yeah. Hey, it looks pretty good. I'll take it. So we trade stuff at the dump. But stuff. But he's looking for, here am I. Go send me. Now, thank God he didn't send me very far. He told me my home church was my mission field. My area was to serve, at that time, Pastor Hoblett, and to be whatever he could be. I was his missionary locally. And I took on the role of things to do and to organize and to help and to put things out in the park outreaches. I contacted the school district. He wanted to have outreaches into communities. Okay, let me contact the school and we'll get some kind of the auditorium, the gym school down at Rockport for Wilson School to minister to kids once a month on a Saturday. We went to the Fourth Ward Park. Did many ministries there, set up a tent. We got a 20 or 30 by 40 tent we'd put up the only thing we were missing was an elephant. It was like a pent tent with like two poles and all this stuff. We had guys out there with the iron stakes that are this long. I learned how to make a ratchet knot, you know, all these things. Okay, let's go to Washington Park. Let's pull over there to Washington Park. Let's minister out into the community. Whatever you want, Pastor, I will pour myself out so that you can fulfill the call that God has on your heart. Not my heart. I didn't want to do it. God didn't speak to me to do those things, but he told me to be supportive. And by being supportive, we accomplished. And that's what it's about in serving God. It's not to make your own thing. It's not to build your own ministry. It's not to build your own thing of what I'm about. It's to come alongside sometimes when he told me that this was my mission field and to pour yourself into Believer's Faith Fellowship and into what I want this church to do and be a part of. So we did that for seasons. Leading back to Mary. She broke the alabaster box to access the contents, spilling out all of its valuable oil in a single extravagant act of worship. Broken and spilled out. Yeah, Jesus was for us, and we need to do that for him. Doing this, what was she giving up? Her financial security. Her future security and her most precious possession she used to honor who? Jesus. Are we doing that today? Are you honoring Jesus today with the things that you have? And really, the only reason why I have them, why? Jesus. He provides, he takes care of, and then there's times he'll say, well, why don't you do this or give this or do that or buy that or do whatever the case is. It's like all the stuff, we are just a conduit of what God is wanting to do on this earth. And so we need to be looking at ourselves to breaking out and to pour out these things that God has. By doing so, she was giving all of this in honor and to bring honor to that of Jesus. And that's what our broken and spilled out is. I don't want a name for myself. I don't want Harvester's Church to be a whatever entity that people look at and say, oh, what a grand and wonderful and big church. Look around. Got a lot of seats. But all we have to do is to be faithful to where he has called you and to what he has asked you to do. And don't look at the expenses that need to be coming in. Don't look at what goes out. Don't look at the people and how many you've got. And if you've got a big church, small church, growing church, fast church, hop. We can get into all kinds of dynamics and metrics of what our church is. Many people that have large churches in their building, they're looking at these metrics and they're saying, by not God's standards, but by the world standards, we are succeeding. Because the world standards look at what? Metrics. The world standards look at income in, income out. Seats in the seats, butts in the seats, parking lots full, 15 programs going on. That's a success, because in business world, that is success. If a business is going to succeed, they need more than one store. They need 50, 500, 1,000. They need to grow. But the churches of today, we look at the world's metrics, and we want the churches to mirror that. And that's when you get tied into the world. And as churches go, we cannot get tied into the world's metrics of measuring on how good is this fellowship doing. You want to know how good a fellowship is doing? Well, you can keep the lights on, the heat going, pay off the building, be debt-free. With all these little people here, you can do all that? Yeah, because God is a blessing God. He spoke to me many times, many years back when I first stepped into this, that money, that P.O. box, that money will come through that P.O. box to support this church by people that don't even go to this church. Thus, this U.S. Cellular builds a cell tower out here. Guess where the check comes in at? P.O. box, 1513. Not much comes into that box anymore because a lot of the stuff was junk. A lot of it was other ministries always wanting to send to say, could you donate? You know, we've got these international and worldwide and national ministries. And you know this as well as the church. It happens to the church. All you got to do is send in one donation because God has spoke to you to go support that outreach. And you're on their list until Jesus comes back. See, that's how these things keep going. They got to keep sending, and you got to keep sending money to them, and they want you to do more. And they're all good organizations, but I'm just saying, there's only a point in time. There was a time in my spirit I thought, you know what? I'm going to come up with a format letter and the things that we were doing and send that to them, to those big ministries, and go, how would you like to partner with us in little town of Janesville, population of 60,000, a church of 50 or whatever we had at the time, and we're doing this in our community. Would you care to donate? I never did, but the thought hit me. I wonder what they would do with it. They'd probably look at it going, tear it up and throw it away. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I should have. But that's that whole thing. Churches that are here, and this is a kingdom church. Harvest Church is in the kingdom of God, kingdom. Because he fulfills it and he maintains it with the least. If I would go out and talk to my pastor friends out there and tell them the numbers of people, like one Sunday we had 12 people, 11. We were like one less than the disciples. Like that really, as a pastor, I can go home and really feel like, at least Jesus had 12, I only had 11. God. They would look at me going, how in the world can you keep it going? And I go, but God. But God. But God. So anyway, when you get into that realm like this, Mary and others in the Bible that poured themselves out, as a church pours themselves out to the things of the kingdom of God, God will provide. Now, the prophetic message of what we could see in this thing of Mary would be that of a prophetic symbol of Jesus' impending death. His body was broken and his blood was spilled out for the salvation of humanity. You look at Jesus, I mean, if he was looking at the, if the world back then was looking at the things that society uses today as a success, would Jesus have been considered a success in ministry? 12 disciples. No building. Just went around and borrowed houses and borrowed things, you know, whatever, home things, and that was good back then. But sometimes I wonder if we looked at Jesus in the light of what, in the lens that society looks at today, we would say, I ain't going to follow that guy. He ain't got nothing going for him. Because he was just looking like out of an image of a mere man. He's just a carpenter. He's just a woodcutter. But even at a young age of 12, he was astounding the learned in the synagogues when they went. And they forgot, and they thought he was with somebody else when they're heading out. But he was back there sharing and just going to town. sharing these adults to these adults like infinite wisdom. Wow. More than just mere man. So we need to look at this as a selfless devotion for a believer. Being broken and spilled out would mean this. As her example, by offering her entire life and resources as an act of worship, it involves us sacrificing one's self-will and personal ambitions to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to serve God's purposes. Are we serving? Are you serving? Are we serving? As a church, serving? The important thing is, are we doing what we're to be doing? And you will hear from God if you're not. If you will realistically ask Him, Lord, how are we doing? And He will unload some things to you. And He might say, it's all well. It's all good. But we continue on because God is not yet done. And we move again to the next time and the next. And we'll have another service next week. And maybe there'll be more. But as we look at things, and I would talk to God and say, well, don't have a lot of people coming. Don't have a lot of new people. But God bless Deb. Good morning. Thank you for coming. 2 weeks back, 3 weeks back, I think it was, we had a couple and then a family come. They were here and they've not been back. Prior to that, a few weeks prior to that, there's a gentleman that came for 3 weeks. Prior to that, another gentleman had come. So anytime these things have happened, and way back when I began is I began because when I came out of my secular job, I was in that company to where we looked at metrics for success. And I had to throw that aside. But I was looking at this and I'm going, Lord, this is not a growing business. You know, this is like if I was in business out on the world side, I would say we're going out of business sale. We just need to fold up and go on and do something else. But then Lord got a hold of me and I would have those little pity parties. And about the time I'd say that, all of a sudden we'd have a visitor that next Sunday. And a few Sundays go by, another one. But they would leave and come and go. Mostly, as you can tell, they would all go. In my spirit, those times that I get with God throughout the week, after Sundays or whatever, and I kind of rehash what goes on, I just heard my Lord say, Tim, I can draw and bring people to that church anytime I want. You don't have to do anything. It's not up to you to draw them there. I will initiate something within them to come. But it's not necessarily to stay. But it's for you to take notice to see that what did you do to have this young lady here come? Nothing. What about that couple from up in Marshall? What did you do to get them? Nothing. The couple in Orfordville? Nothing. What did you do? The only thing I did, Lord, is preach your word. I only want to be found as a pastor that says nothing other than what the Bible says and try to break it down so I can understand it and that hopefully you would be able to understand it as well and that so we can grow and connect to God. And I said, what else am I to do, God? And He says, just connect them to me like you got connected to me. Through just hearing the message, having a hunger, opening your heart, pouring yourself out, opening up to hear more from me, desiring more of me. Turn your back upon that of the world. Do these things that I want you to do. And you will be pleasing me. You know what? After that, I said, can do. I can do that. And that's the way it's been for many, 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 many years. July of this coming year, I will have been pastoring here for 20 years. Started in 2006 when Pastor retired. And I was here like 8 years before that, mentoring under him and assistant. And so it's like, you know, I look at those things, I go, and I don't want to debate it a whole lot. I just, when he says those things, I think about it, sounds good to me. It's a good plan. It's God's plan. Why not do it, right? It's like, why not surrender yourself, Tim? Why not surrender yourselves to God and let Him work out His plan? The world would call it this now, mojo. Let God work out His mojo in you. But let your mojo be mo-Jesus. That just came to me. Not just more Joe, but more Jesus. Put more Jesus in your step, more Holy Spirit in your heart. Be led and guided by the Trinity, and you will have success, and you will go out and you will do astounding and great things. Are you going to go and have a revival fire across the world? Probably not, but it could happen. But if it doesn't happen, are you not following His plan? No, you're following His plan when you said, "Here am I. Lord, you're all I want. You're all I need. I want to do everything I can to bring honor and glory to you and share your love, your strength, your hope, your joy with those around me so that we can go through this miserable life that is just havoc around here." Here means this world, this nation. And that I can have joy and peace and comfort even when the government shuts down. I feel for those that require or rely upon that, but to me it's been the most peaceful 30-some-odd days. Less government, the better. But that needs to be downsized. But anyway, that's another story for another day. But I'm just saying, when all adversities and things happen in our society, yes, I hear it, I feel it, I sense it, I'm sorry, but I pray and I ask God to be the source, to get the hearts and a hold of the hearts of our representation that are the governance of our country to do what they need to do. And not be like kids in a baseball field taking their bat and ball and going home when the other team doesn't want to play their way. But that's another story. But that's what I want to share with those out there is that, come. We had a wonderful teaching at times from Miles Monroe, and he was from Jamaica. And it would be like, "Come to Jamaica, man." I would say, "Come to the kingdom, man. The kingdom of God. And let Him show you the possibilities, the potential that is in you that fits into His kingdom, and that He will bless you and nurture you and keep you and strengthen you." Well, yeah, but don't we all sometimes have health problems in His kingdom? Well, yes, we're all aging and going through things, and He's my healer and my physician. But if I'm going to have a bad knee or this or that, I can get it repaired by God, you know, by God through that of man. But, you know, we are still physical beings. We still have aches and pains. But, you know, it's like, but that can't slow us down. We need to continue to do something for Him and do what we can do. Well, the metaphor as we looked at this, we find this in sermons. We hear it in the hymns. Surrendering one's will, it describes the painful but transformative process of letting go of your plans and desiring to follow God's plans. Has it been easy letting go of your plans? Be honest. But it's not easy. Vulnerability and transparency. And as we break the vessel that we are in, and open it up to Him, what does it do? It exposes what's inside. And what He sees inside, it can mean vulnerable and transparent with others, allowing them to see the truth of your beautiful humanness. We break ourselves so that the love and the light of God can shine through us, so others can see that. We do it in service to others. Being poured out does this: giving of yourself completely to be nourished. Nourishment for other souls. Do you know you have a part to play in someone else's walk with that of God? You are the person that might be that encourager. You are that person that might be that voice. You're that one that God spoke to in a prayer or in a vision or a dream, and you go and you share that with someone, and you say, "I don't know if this means anything, but I feel I want to share this, what God brought to me. I saw you. And I saw this now, but it doesn't look, it's not going to be like this forever. God says there's a breakthrough coming." That's where you begin to show that as you're serving God, as you become to help others. As we look at this brokenness build out, it describes a person's complete and costly devotion to God. Mary, pouring out that valuable oil, represents her most treasured possession and herself and oneself for a deeper relationship with God. As we pour ourselves out, as we break ourselves and spilt out, we have a deeper relationship. Have you not seen that the more you've been broken for him. With that of the cross and his death, but his resurrection, have you not had a deeper relationship with Jesus because of that? The alabaster jar that we find in the Gospels, the act at that time was what? Seen as a waste. Why did you do that? That much oil, that great wealth, the whole year of wages you poured out? But Jesus said this, it's a beautiful thing and a loving act of preparation for his burial. The imagery of the broken vessel spilling out its precious contents symbolizes extravagant and wholehearted worship. Wholehearted worship. That's where we need to be, right? Lord, I give you everything. My whole being. I will. We look at this broken and we think of the Passover. What did he do with the bread? He broke it. Broke the bread. Passed it out. Broken and poured out wine. The phrase references the actions at the Last Supper where he broke the bread, poured the wine, saying that they represented what? His body. His blood. Which were given for who? Us. Man. For you. And it's been poured out for many, many, many after that time. This symbolizes Jesus' ultimate sacrifice and invites his followers to imitate his self-giving service. And that's what we want to do. Jesus as our example, right? That we want to follow him. That's a point of being broken and poured out. That, Lord, I just want to hear something from you. And I don't want to miss it, Lord. And he's so kind and generous that if I do miss it, generally he'll bring it back up. But I want to hear it, and I want to run with it, or do with it, whatever he's asked, or whatever the thought is that he places there, right? We're going to close out here with a song. Let me pray, and then we'll pick this back up. Maybe looking a little bit more of meaning for believers. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is active and alive. That your word is speaking into us, Lord, into our spirits. And so, Father, I pray that as we have spoken on the broken and spilled out, and we understand that on your aspect and what you did, but Lord, we as followers of yours, we need to pay attention to truly are we breaking ourselves to the point of here we are, use us. Here I am, Lord, I'm going to pour myself out. And as I pour myself out, Lord, pour yourself, as we would hear in Scripture, less of me, more of you. And to do that, we have to pour ourselves out to make room for you. So I pray that we do that. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, your mercy. Touch each of us now as we go. Give us a wonderful week, a blessed week. I pray for healing and strength in our bodies. I pray, Lord, that as we go out, I know you're going with us. And ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen.